Turn to Luke chapter 2. While you're turning there, I want to say thank you to everybody that showed up yesterday to help the Thackers move. And,
it always does me good to see when the Lord's people come together like that to help one another, and it's always encouraging to me. And I know there's some of you that would have been there if you could have been there, but I appreciate those who were able to make it. Luke 2 and verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, the whole world will recognize Wednesday as the birthday of this one that most refer to as the little Lord Jesus, or the baby Jesus. But who was that baby? Who was that one born in a barn in Bethlehem? Who was he? Some think he was just another baby. Others think that he was a good example. Some think he was a good teacher, like Muhammad, equal with Muhammad or Buddha. But who was it? Who was that infant laid in a manger? Simeon said in verse 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's salvation. That's who he is. Simeon looked at this infant, raised this infant up in his arms and said to God, behold, I have seen thy salvation. Now, I want to just look at those two words, thy salvation, and see what we can learn from those two words. One, we understand that Christ is the salvation provided by God Himself. It's God's salvation, thy salvation. Number two, Christ is Himself salvation. He is salvation. And three, that tells us the result will be He will save somebody. He will save somebody. Now let's look at these three points. The Lord Jesus, first of all, is the salvation that God Himself provided. Verse 26 says, at the end there, says He is the Lord's Christ. He's the Lord's anointed. Now that tells us three things. One, God the Father Himself chose God the Son. He chose Him. He elected Him and anointed Him to be salvation. Go with me to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 and verse 1, God is speaking here, and He's speaking about Christ. And He says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." He's not going to be some voice for political change or something like that. He came unobserved. He says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench." Those that are just weak and helpless, he's not going to break them. He's going to be gentle with them. Look at this. "He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment, justice, in the earth, and the isles, the Gentiles, shall wait for his law." God says here that Christ shall not fail. He's the one God chose. He elected him. He's God's servant. He chose the Son of God. He chose one equal with God. God chose his Son. And God says here, he shall not fail. He shall set justice forth in the earth, judgment in the earth. And if you understand what that means, then you know when he says he will establish judgment in the earth, it means he will save his people. That's what it means. Why is his name Jesus? Remember, the angel said his name shall be called Jesus. Why? "For he shall save his people from their sins." He shall save his people from their sins. God the Father chose his Son to be God's salvation, the salvation God provided. Psalm 89:19 says, "Thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people." That one is Christ. Look at Isaiah 49, a few pages to your right, and look there at verse 3. Now, he's talking to Christ here, and he says in verse 3, "Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." The word Israel, the name Israel, means as a prince, thou hast power with God and hast prevailed. That is Christ's name. He's Israel. When he gave Jacob the name Israel, he did what he does when he saves his people. He gave Jacob his name. And when he saves his bride and unites himself with his bride, you and I who believe, he gives us his name. He's Israel. Now look what he says here in verse 6. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Look at Isaiah 51 and look at verse 5. He says, "My righteousness is near." You know, Romans 10 says Christ is God's righteousness. He's the righteousness God has provided because his people had no righteousness. We can't earn a righteousness. He says, "Behold, my righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. And mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look upon the earth beneath." He's saying, look around everything you see right here around you in this earth. He says, "For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner." but my salvation. My salvation shall be forever. My righteousness shall not be abolished. Look at verse 8. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Christ is God's salvation, eternal salvation. You see, everything around us, everything that you see with your temporal carnal eye, you and I think that is lasting. We think it's solid, that it's been here for so long, it's going to be here forever. Well, God said over through the Apostle Peter, he said, people say, well, everything's just continuing like it always has. And he said, God's not long, he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He's long-suffering to usward, to those he's determined to save, because he's not willing that any of his people shall perish, but that each of his people shall come to repentance. And so he's long-suffering. He will not destroy this earth till he's brought each of his people to believe on Christ, his salvation. Christ is salvation. Now, God said there, we read there in Isaiah, God said, it's in him that my soul delighteth. God said of Christ, my soul delighteth in him. He's the only one God's delighted with. He came down, the Son of God, and took flesh and became the God-man. There was the first Adam who represented all who would be born of him. And when he sinned, he plunged us all into sin and death. Christ is the last Adam. He's the head and representative of all who shall be born of him. When Christ brought in everlasting righteousness, he made his people everlastingly righteous. And God says of him, I'm delighted in him. God's not delighted in you and me. We're sinners. He's delighted in his Son. And he's only delighted with us if we come to him through faith in his Son. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Christ said. He said, I'm the way. I'm the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. You think that if God says of his Son that he's my salvation, I chose him, I anointed him, I sent him forth, this is my Son in whom my soul delighteth, he's my salvation. And we're all going to die. And we're all going to stand before God on the day of judgment. Do you think God's going to delight in anybody who rejects the salvation that he provided? You think God's going to be pleased if a man comes to God and he says, well, I know you provided your salvation, but I thought I'd just work out, do some good works myself. I thought I'd do some things on my own and contribute. No. God's delighted in one. He's done everything God sent him to do, and that's the only one we can come to God in. No works of our own, no goodness in us, strictly trusting Christ alone for all our acceptance with God. I tell you something else it means when it says thy salvation. It means that God chose to save somebody. God chose to save somebody. And the word salvation means those he chose to save cannot save ourselves. Now, this is good news. God provided salvation. Christ is his salvation. That means God provided salvation for someone. You don't provide salvation, especially if it's your own son that's going to lay down his life to make that salvation. You wouldn't do that in just hoping that somebody would avail themselves of it. Besides that, what was included at the cross was Christ was paying the debt of sin. That means somebody was guilty. and their sin had to be taken off of them and put on Christ, and then justice poured out on Christ instead of on them. And so because God justified each one for whom Christ died, Christ justified each one for whom He died, He satisfied the law for each person for whom He died, and therefore God will not punish that sinner. He will not pour out wrath on him. That wouldn't be just. Justice has been satisfied. So, we know this. God didn't choose everybody without exception for Christ to lay down His life for, because He just told us, Christ shall not fail. Christ shall not fail to save each and every one that the Father sent Him to save. He's God's salvation. If He loses one, He ceases to be salvation. And the very word salvation means you can't save yourself. I can't save myself. You look around and you say, well, I'm not that bad a sinner. I'm not as bad as that sinner. Well, it's not that sinner that you have to measure up to. It's God. You have to be as righteous as God. And the only way we can be made the righteousness of God is by Christ, who is God's salvation. We can't do this ourselves. Let me show you who He came to save. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. This is who God came to save, who Christ came to save right here. Look at Ephesians 1. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul's writing to believers. He says there in verse 1, I'm writing to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's who he's writing to. When you read a letter, don't you always first see who it's written to? If that letter's written to you, particularly, you don't think that what's written in that letter applies to your neighbor, do you? No, it applies to you. It was written to you. Well, here Paul's writing to believers. And this is what he says all believers have in common. Look, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. He predestinated the time when He would send forth the Spirit of God and quicken us to life and draw us to faith in Christ. And He says there, He did it all according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Grace is free. It's free favor. It means God didn't see something in you to make Him do it. He did it freely by grace. Look at this. Wherein, in Christ, He hath made us accepted in Christ the Beloved. And in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. Who are God's elect? Who is Christ's salvation for? They're those blessed by the Father from eternity. Before ever the world was made, before He ever founded the world, He chose a people in Christ and blessed us with all spiritual blessings. What's left out of the word all? When He says all spiritual blessing, that includes them all, doesn't it? He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ before the foundation of the world. Who are God's elect? They're those God predestinated. He set their destiny so that He works everything after the counsel of His own will to bring them under the sound of the gospel, to hear this good news, and God regenerates them and adopts them into His family. And He does this by Christ Jesus. But they had to be holy and righteous for God to receive them. And so Christ redeemed them by His blood. And they have to be made to know Christ if they're going to believe on Christ. And He abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence, making known to us His will. You see, Christ is salvation. That sounds like God does all the saving. That's right. Salvation means God must do all the saving. Jonas said, salvation is of the Lord. That excludes you, and that excludes me. That excludes your works, and that excludes my works. That means salvation, beginning to end, is of the Lord. That's just what it means. You know, the Coast Guard is called, and there's a man that's drowning in the ocean, and they rush to this scene where he's drowning. Do they say, well, we got everything we need to make this rescue, but let's don't carry a life preserver. Maybe this drowning man will have a life preserver. Maybe he can contribute that to this saving mission. Do they fly in on a helicopter and they let down a basket and there's a man drowning and they send a man down there who's an expert swimmer to secure the drowning man in the basket? Or do they stand on the shore and say, now if you'll just take the first few strokes and swim toward us, we'll do the rest? That wouldn't be salvation. That man wouldn't need to be saving. If he could swim two strokes toward him, he could swim all of them. That wouldn't be salvation. Salvation means God does all the saving. Does the EMT, does he show up to the where the man's unconscious and bring no resuscitating equipment with him? Does he just show up and say, well, maybe this man is unconscious, maybe he'll just resuscitate himself and we'll do the rest? God says of you and me, the way we come into this world, we are dead in trespasses and in sins. And a dead man can't do nothing. A dead man cannot do one thing. Therefore, we have to be quickened. We have to be regenerated. That's why Christ said you must be born again. And that's all of God. He gets the glory for that. Salvation's of the Lord. Three, this means He gets all the glory. In God is my salvation and my glory. That's what the psalmist said. In God I find all my salvation, and in God I'll give all my praise and all my glory. I boast in Him. I don't boast in myself. Now, secondly, we look at this word, thy salvation. It means the Lord Jesus is Himself salvation. He is Himself salvation. Simeon took up this baby in his arms and looks at this baby, 8 days old, and says, God, I've seen thy salvation. This was before the Lord Jesus had begun to preach. This was before He had done any works under the law or done anything on the cross. As a baby, 8 days old, Simeon said, I have seen thy salvation. And to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But Simeon's declaring here, He's more than a Savior. He is salvation. He is Himself salvation. Moses saying, he said, He also hath become my salvation. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Isaiah said, behold, God is my salvation. He is Himself. Simeon didn't say. Now, he was in the temple and they were still under the law at that time, so they were bringing all these offerings in there. He didn't say, all these offerings of these lambs and these turtle doves, this is my salvation. No, he looked at that babe, and he said, "He is my salvation. He's my salvation. He himself." Now, we love to hear the truth proclaimed about all of Christ's saving works. We love to hear the gospel declare how he saved us by his life, his death, and his resurrection. He alone lived. He alone was holy and without sin from the womb. That's why he had to be born of a virgin. You and I were born of another sinner. And our father, because he was a sinner, we were conceived in sin. But Christ wasn't. He wasn't. There's only been two men that started their life out in this world without sin. That's Adam, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came forth without sin, and he lived under the law all his days without sin. And then he went to the cross, bearing the sin of his people, so that it would be just for God to pour out wrath on him. And he satisfied divine justice for his people. He freely justified his people. And then he arose and sat down at the right hand of the Father, where he sovereignly is working to send forth his gospel and call out each one he redeemed. We love to hear about the works that our Lord Jesus accomplished. He alone fulfilled the law of God. He alone declared God just and the justifier. He alone did it. But don't ever forget this. As much as we delight in the works that our Redeemer accomplished, he himself is salvation. He himself is salvation. He's the only one who can make us wise. The Scripture says he himself is our wisdom. He's the only one who sanctifies his people, sets us apart for his holy use and makes us holy and accepted. He's the only one that does that. The Scripture says he himself is our sanctification. He's the only one who makes righteous. The Scripture says he is our righteousness. He's the only one who redeems and sets his people free from the bondage of the law and from the bondage of our sin nature. But Scripture says he himself is our redemption. He is all and in all to his people. Now, does he tell us to come to his work? When he calls you, does he say, "Now you come to my work"? Does he call you and he say, "Now you come to my doctrine"? No, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he's our rest. He gives it, and he's our Sabbath. That's right. He said, "Come to me. Come to me." Now, this one that we're talking about is holy God and holy man in one person. Now, you can give up trying to explain that. You're not going to. This is the very mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He's holy God and holy man. And he had to be a man so that he could be made under the law and work out a righteousness for his people, because we were flesh and blood and we were under the law. And he had to be God so that every work he accomplished would be eternal and never have to be done again. And that's what he accomplished. Christ is all salvation. He's not part of salvation. He's all salvation. Colossians 1 says, "It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Believer, Scripture says you are complete in him. There's nothing to be added. You are complete in him. Why? It's because Christ is our salvation. He's all salvation. Don't seek a part of salvation in yourself. Don't seek a part of salvation in your works. Don't seek a part of salvation in your will. Don't seek a part of salvation in your religious doings. Don't seek a part of salvation in you. Salvation is all of Christ. Salvation is Christ. Salvation is Christ. Now lastly, what are the results of Christ being God's salvation? What is it? What's it going to terminate in, knowing that He's God's salvation? What does that mean? That means He shall not lose one. That's what it means. That's what He said. He said, "I will. No man will pluck them out of my hand. Not anybody. He shall do for each of His redeemed what He did for Simeon," right here. There in verse 25, the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Spirit came upon Simeon. Verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple, was made to behold the Lord Jesus, and took him up and confessed, "He's all my salvation." The Spirit of God shall come upon every sinner who God chose, who Christ redeemed. God will send forth the Spirit upon each one of them. And God the Holy Spirit will bring them into God's house under this message of the gospel, under the sound of the preaching of the gospel. Listen to me. I don't care what all the second causes were that made you end up here today. I can tell you this. God brought you here today. God brought you here today. I wouldn't take that lightly. Some of you sitting here today are probably hearing the truth for the first time in your life. You've probably been hearing preachers who are trying to pad their pocket and live an easy life so they'll tell you anything you want to hear to tickle your ears and to boast up your flesh so that you'll keep coming and paying the bill. God's preacher don't want your money. God's preacher don't want anything you can give. Christ don't want anything you can give. God brought you here so you heard the truth. But then the Spirit of God also shall reveal this in our heart. You can't just hear what I'm preaching today. You can listen to me, but you can't hear it spiritually unless God gives you a heart to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But when the Spirit of God reveals this to you, when He reveals Christ to you, then He irresistibly draws His people, makes us willing to come to Christ and cast all our care into Christ's hand and say, "He's all my salvation." And even then, God preserves us throughout our life of faith. "He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of salvation." That's what Paul said in Philippians. He'll perform. We're kept by the power of God unto salvation. He keeps us in faith. He keeps us trusting Christ. And then one day, we're going to die, or either He's going to return, but either way, we're going to drop these bodies of death, this sinful flesh, and He's going to raise us, resurrect us anew with a new body, with a perfect spirit, and we're going to be in God's presence, perfectly conformed to Christ without sin. And all of this work will be God's. And everybody in heaven will praise one. Everybody in heaven will give Christ all the glory, saying, "He's all my salvation." If you don't like this message now, you're going to hate it in heaven. Because that's all anybody's going to be talking about in heaven. Nobody's going to be talking about you and me. We're going to be all talking about, "He's all my salvation." I pray God will bless that to your heart. Let's stand together. Our gracious Father, we thank You that You provided Your Son, who You chose and sent forth to be the salvation of Your people. Lord, teach us and help one of your lost sheep to hear this, reveal it to them, and draw them to Christ and cause them to believe on Him. We pray, Lord, you'll be glorified in everything we say and do here today. That you'll instruct us and grow us and teach us. Lord, save us from ourselves. Please save us from our sins and from our thoughts and from leaning to our own understanding and walking in our own way and thinking that's wise. Deliver us from that. Make us read your word and do what you say. Lord, forgive us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.